All right, I'd like for you to take your Bibles and meet me over in Ephesians chapter 4. While you're turning there, I kind of just want to give you some good, exciting news here. We are very, very close to starting the live call-in aspect of Bible Line. I told Trent when I hired him that our plan was to get back to what we used to do, and I kind of just said, when we hit 10,000 subscribers, then we'll do this. And then all of a sudden, we hit 10,000 subscribers, and that blew my mind. It still blows my mind, the amount of growth that we're getting. But I told him once we hit that number, we'd start looking at this call-in show. So in partnership with David Bauer, we did some pricing, came around about $3,000 to get the proper board, computers, screens. We still need to purchase some headphones and a little Bluetooth adapter and all this stuff. To be able to start taking call-ins, start taking live calls and bringing people on the air. And we just got one of the last pieces that we needed to make that happen. So tomorrow, for most of the day, we're going to be doing a test of those things. We have purchased a phone number. That's about $9 a month. There's a company in California named Call-In Studios, callinstudios.com, and they do all the handling. So they provide like a screening software and a host software. And it's a little intimidating, if I'm going to be honest with you, which I always seek to be honest with you. It's a little intimidating to think of taking live callers. We are not FCC regulated either. So if someone decides to just, you know, say what they want to say, I got to just kind of cut them off. But we need screeners. We need people to take phone calls and screen those calls before they go on air. We need people that are going to help create and manage the program. And I'm just so impressed with what God is doing here. I can't believe that we are real close to, in that little studio right there, going back on the air around the entire world. Just to put this in perspective, all the equipment that we've purchased in there is probably just a little bit more than $10,000. When we were on the air, on radio here, on AM radio, which does not have any of the markers for you to find out who's listening, what device, and all of that. It's just an AM dial. We were spending $10,000 a month for years that was going on. And I'm not saying that was wasted money. Please don't think that's what I'm saying. But I think it's great that now we're going to be able to do that very thing with a lot more freedom and reach a lot more people. I believe we'll be able to reach a lot more people. So please pray about that. I'm excited. I can't wait to show you the phone number. I'll show you the phone number eventually. But we actually, the last four digits were originally the last four digits of the old Bible Line. We were looking, they give you like 100 numbers to look through and it just auto-generates, and 3771 was the last four. And I thought, that used to be the old Bible Line number. So it's pretty cool that we're getting ready to start that. Also, you know, the church is growing too. On Sunday morning, I got a little nervous when I came up here to preach. I saw both of these aisles were packed. We had over 150 people here on Sunday. And there were eight new people, three of whom put their trust in Jesus Christ. And that includes, you know, all the kids and workers that were here. And I was just, this time of year is not the time of year where you see a lot of people coming because everyone's on vacation. You know, we're all doing family stuff that you do once a year, but to see that many people, I was just incredibly encouraged. And that we had that many people hear Sean Duncan explain the gospel and explain the work that they're doing in the Philippines, and then to talk about what we talked about regarding election and how God uses election, how all that is defined in Scripture. I just am reminded of a prayer that I prayed when I first became the pastor here. I just asked for the Lord's will to be done and that I'd be given strength. For perspective, about 3 months in, I thought that I ran out of stuff to preach. I really did. There was this series that Yankee gave me called Golden Nuggets Throughout the Bible. And it was like, you know, like little sermons that you could kind of pull from and all that. And I thought, I'm going to have to teach through this whole thing. But I continue to ask God to give me strength. And now I can stand up here and tell you, I don't know if I'm going to have enough time in my life to be able to cover all the stuff that is here in the Scripture. God has answered that prayer beyond what I could understand. There are some of you sitting here right now that I believe are a direct answer to the prayer that I prayed to the Lord. And so I'm just so excited about what's going on here. And I want to tell you, yes, this is unique. No, this is not happening everywhere, but there are other like-minded brother and sister churches out there. There really are. So we need to pray for the whole body of Christ to get to work. The fields are white, all ready to harvest. We have so little time left. We are living in a time right now where you can't believe the things that you're looking at. You can't believe the things that are coming into these ear holes here. Things are changing. Recently, I saw that for some of these Kamala Walls rallies, people are generating AI crowds, making them look like real crowds. And I'm going, oh, man, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. So, and then, of course, when Biden was running, there was a whole prank that was going out where they were deep faking his voice to make it seem like he was saying some policies that he didn't agree with. And thousands of people were tricked by that to give money to a campaign website that was not his website before anybody caught on. Now, I'm not saying you need to bury your head in the sand and live in fear. You need to bury your head in the Bible and live your faith boldly. You need to go out there and boldly proclaim the truth. That's what matters, especially since we're in the very last few seconds of this age. We need to be busy doing the Lord's work. We got 14 people that want to join the church. And this past members class, I had people write down all of their talents. Like, how could you help the ministry? And I got somebody that says, I play the piano. Look for someone to play the piano for a long time. James is like, yeah. You know, Dana's been doing a great job. I don't know if you've been listening to Kaylee, but she's gotten much better. She took that as a step of faith. She's been practicing for a long time. But to now have maybe potentially two more people that can help with that, that's the Lord answering prayer. Our Simple Steps program, I have some exciting developments on that. As that continues to go, we're looking to start that again. God may be working in somebody right now that I've been in contact with to make that happen. I don't know what the plans are, but I do know we have a responsibility. And, you know, really, it's not a good thing for you to shirk that responsibility. I'm getting a lot of questions that are coming into Bibleline. Right now, we have just passed today. We just passed 900 emails that people have been sending since about July of 2021. Now, if you go to our Q&A page, there's only about 70. And you say, why is that? Because a lot of them are kind of the same. But I'm getting back into the routine of posting those online so people can have an actual text search. That's how that works. When you go to Google and you type something in word for word, if there's a match somewhere, it will show you, unless, of course, they're skewing search results, which does happen. I'm not here to put the tinfoil hat on, but these things are proven. You use different search engines, you'll get different results. But the ministry is just growing. And I know tonight we were supposed to talk about personal standards, talking about addressing feelings. We'll talk about that next week. But this time last week, I had just gotten to Georgia to see Freddie. We went and saw him briefly on Thursday, but it was not a good day for him. So we spent about all of 30 seconds seeing him on Thursday, but Friday we came back and spent, you know, about 45 minutes to an hour with him. And, you know, it prompted some discussion that I'd like to have with you tonight, because there are elements of the Christian life that a lot of people are not going to be able to experience. And you may think, well, why? Why is that something that not everybody experiences? And it's because a lot of people don't do what the Bible says to do to experience those things. I consider myself very blessed to have had people like Freddie Coyle model the Christian life for me. People like, for a short amount of time, Dr. Hank Lindstrom. He was my pastor. We came to church here in 2003, and he passed away in 2008. So for that period of time, he was one of those guys that just showed me this Bible, these books, they have a common theme. And it's all contextual, and there's an audience, and you can understand these things. It's not past what you can understand. I'm glad to have someone like that in my life, but he also modeled the Christian life too. Someone like Dr. Arnold. I don't know if you spent a lot of time with Yankee. You need to, because that guy will encourage you to give the gospel. And a lot of people think that's all he does. He does so much more. He really lives what he believes, and I'm thankful to be under someone like that who not only just tells me what to do by showing me what the Bible says, but then also does it himself. I mean, Paul says that. Be followers of me as I follow Christ. And moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found successful, happy, joyful. No, faithful. That's the hardest thing for people to do, is just be where you're supposed to be. Do what you're supposed to do. And there's a risk that we run, I've seen, and I know I haven't been walking with the Lord for very long in perspective with a lot of what you guys have experienced, but in the short time that I've been walking with the Lord, there are little sweet things that encourage me to keep doing what the Bible says to do. And some of those things have to do with fellowship. I think fellowship, especially when we study 1 John and you see that word know, K-N-O-W, you understand that for a lot of believers, they're going to be known by Christ because they have been obedient to the gospel. They've put their trust in him. But they're not going to know Jesus on a relational, personal level because they're not obedient. They're not obedient to the Christian life. As 2 Peter tells us in chapter 1, add to your faith and you can guarantee you won't be barren and unfruitful in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. But if you don't add to these things, you're considered as one who has no sight, who's afar off and has forgotten that he's purged from his old sins. That's one of those verses I use for people when they say, I forgot that I'm saved. You know, 2 Peter 1:9 says the people who forget they're saved are people who are not walking in the truth. They're not walking and growing in their Christian life. And a lot of that is the result of the fact that people get stuck under false teaching. That's why I would never recommend anybody go to any church that has any hint of Calvinistic doctrine. It chokes out faith. It's not good. It's not a good thing. But I want you to see in verse 11 in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. This is on page 1253 in a church loan Bible. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. There are some people, plan words there. There are some people that think, well, there's no pastoral authority in Scripture. You know, I don't need to have any man teach me. You know, I can learn on my own from the Word. Yes, that is all true. The Holy Spirit teaches all of us through his Word. I'm not denying that. But God has given the role of an under-shepherd to some people. I believe that gift has been given to me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here in this role. It's not for everybody. Look at the rest of that list. There's some that are out there as evangelists. Now, some will look at this and say, well, see, I don't share the gospel because I don't have the gift. No. Sharing the gospel is a responsibility. But there, so you can't say, I wiggle out of that, you know? But there are some who are very articulate and are able to gain that favorable attention, in whom God uses the talents that he has given that person to help people come to faith in Christ. There are some great orators out there who speak beautifully the truth. Freddie Cole is one of those guys. I have never heard somebody so eloquent, so motivating, so powerful when it comes to the gospel and Christian living than Freddie Cole. And I'm saying that to you without exaggerating. Well, you say, what about someone like Billy Graham? Well, folks, if he would get his message straight, maybe. But Freddie doesn't have that little time where he uses repent, or that little time where he asks people to ask Jesus into their heart. And you've heard that. That man has a gift. I think that's a part of God's bestowing upon those in the church so that the church would grow. Look at what this says. All that is there, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, all that is there for a reason. That's the first word in verse 12. For. So what? Why? Why do we have some people who are gifted at communication? Why do we have some people that are gifted at shepherding? Why do we have some people that are gifted at teaching the word line upon line? Why? For the perfecting of the saints. This is what we miss out on when we say, no, God, I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay, you have the freedom to do that. You have the total freedom to do that. But can I ask you a question? Why would you want to? Why would we want to look at this wonderful opportunity to be used by God, the one who said, let there be light, and there was light? Why would we want to take that opportunity to live for self? I don't know, y'all been seeing these cyber trucks around? I think they look like silver roaches. I don't know why. The design, it just looks like I want to go, you know, like, ew. Not judging anybody that has a cyber truck. Listen, Don't get it twisted. But there's a lot of people who that's a goal, or a net value, or some type of promotion, or some type of relationship. I've seen people worship a relationship so much that they cut all types of corners just to get to the status of, I'm in a relationship. That's not good. It's not good. What that is, when you take anything and you put it before your responsibility to God, you have made an idol. And you will miss out on sweet moments like what you're going to read here because you've decided, I'm going to do what I want to do. And I know what God says, but I hear this with teenagers all the time, or I used to when I was the youth director. Well, that I'll do that when I'm older. I'll serve God when I'm older. Folks, I used to say that because I used to think serving the Christian life was, you know, the Catholic, you know, chanting and all that. Can't have any fun, can't do anything remotely entertaining. I haven't had more fun or had more entertainment in my entire life if it wasn't for serving the Lord. I mean, it's something unique when you get to go and see somebody who's facing the end of their life and you can still laugh about what the Lord has done. That's unique. I did that with Freddie last week. We talked, we laughed, we cried, and you know what we landed on? Not a cure, not some type of, you know, I hope I'm going to go. We landed on this. Thank God we know that one day we're going to be without any of this, without any sin, without any disease, without any sickness. You don't get that in regular hospitals around the world. A lot of people have no clue where they're going when you die. You know. You know that. Now, you're not faced with death right now, but folks, it's appointed unto every man to die once. You don't know when that is. It's a bad choice to say, I'm going to live for myself. And then when I've settled down, when I've had my fun, then I'll serve the Lord. You have the freedom to say that. I don't think you realize what the consequences are. And I'm not saying any of you have said that, but some of us are living our lives that way. We've put ourselves and our preferences first. For the perfecting of the saints, continue. So for the growth, for the maturity of those who are believers. Number two, for the work of the ministry. You know what this tells me? Ministry is work. It's a good work, though. I think about what we did with that back-to-school bash. Everybody's running around. Hot dogs are being cooked. Slides are being used. People are filling out forms. You realize you've just been on your feet for probably 6 hours. You got inflatables coming up, inflatables going down, all this stuff. You're having conversations and all that. Yeah, you're going to be tired when you get home and your body's going to hurt, but man, that's a good work. That's good work to be busy with. Think about vacation Bible school. That, if you think we just said on Sunday before the Monday of VBS, we're like, let's just do this, right? That's not how it goes. There is work, there is labor that is expected of us in ministry. If you're coming to church to be blessed, you should be coming to church to be a blessing. Yankee said that in the Bible study we had last month. And I thought it was very good. Because how many people pick churches based on how they make them feel? Oh, well, you know, I like Pastor so-and-so, but that other Pastor so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't go to that church anymore because it didn't make, I wasn't feeling it. Feeling it? I'm so glad. I'm so glad that that's not how I was taught. You know who that puts first? You. And a lot of people are building up teachers so that they can think, oh, I like that teacher. He just made me feel real good. For the work of the ministry, look at this. I believe verse 12 is split up into three groups there. Here's the third group. The edifying of the body of Christ. Very similar to that first group. We're building each other up. We're supposed to be maturing. We're supposed to be laboring. We're supposed to be building each other up until 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until it's all over and we are sinless and we are now in the presence of the one who bought us, we need to be continually building. This is the finer things of the Christian life. Because a lot of believers are not doing this. They are growing up, but they are not much they're, when I say growing up, I mean years are going by since they've trusted Christ, but they're not growing spiritually. That we henceforth be no more children. And what's the description or the comparison here of the child? Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men. What does that mean, the sleight of men? Man's ability to deceive. You ever seen that Geico commercial? I know you have because they run it still now today. The guy's in a fishing store, and in the corner there's an old guy with a dollar, and he's holding it over somebody's head. And he's like, come on, you can get it. And the guy goes to reach it, and the old man pulls it back. Well, God be quicker than that. That's the sleight of men. You mean there's people out there with the title of pastor and the title of teacher running big ministries that are doing bait and switch? Absolutely. And that shouldn't surprise us. Well, then you may say, how do we know what the truth is? Know the truth. This is the lens by which we interpret what man says. Look at the next description. And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This is why they lie in wait. They prey upon you to deceive you. We know who those big guys are, those televangelists that very clearly are doing that, but they're in small churches too. But here's the change again, going back to the tone of what we saw at the end of verse 13. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things. That's what made me want to talk about this topic instead of the personal standards. That all things are things I believe are going to be unique to you and me. Not doctrinally unique, not like God's going to tell James something and he's not going to tell me something. But there are situations as James grows in his Christian life, he will have little blessings, little gifts that God does uniquely for him and the work that he's done. I believe that. I've seen it in my life. And what's the common denominator? Faith in Christ, obviously, but then obedience to the rest of the word. And that's what's missing in a lot of Christianity today. That's why I think this ministry is starting to grow, because we're teaching the B-I-B-L-E. I could very easily mail this in. What do you say? What do you mean? I could get some devotional and just, you know, go through it. Yeah, just get real bland. I'm just... sending in the mail, that's it. But I choose not to do that because I don't think that kind of Christianity promotes growth. I don't want you to be more academic. My goal for you here in the next 5 years is not for you to say, I know a lot of the Bible. My goal for you in the next 5 years is to say, I know Christ more than I did then. And if you want to know Christ, you got to get in your word and then do what it says. James says that. The man who is not just a forgetful hearer, but a faithful doer, that man will be blessed in all of his work. All right, what's the formula we talked about a couple weeks ago? Read the word, believe the word, do what the word says. And that's what I believe you'll start to get these little blessings. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even who? The pastor of your local assembly? Your board of elders. Ooh. Not Warren's like, no. No, no, no. What do we grow up into? The one who heads it all up, Christ. John said it. John, who is the one God used as the one, he was not that light, but he's the one who showed people to that light. He said at the end of John 3, in order for him to increase, I have to decrease. The Christian life is a call to come and die to self and live unto Christ. What a blessed invitation. What a blessed invitation. Look at what this says here. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. What does this mean? The illustration here is of a skeletal structure. So the body of Christ is like a skeletal structure. It's like a body that we have here. We want everything to be in place. Working correctly. You all know what it's like when the body does not work correctly. You ever dislocated a shoulder? Not good. No one dislocates a shoulder and goes, yes, I am going to do so much better today. I saw this video. I don't know if y'all seen this because it's kind of viral right now. These two ladies, they're arm wrestling. I will never arm wrestle again. This lady, she don't look weak. She don't look strong either. But they're just, you know, ha, ha, ha. And I see this go, and she goes, and I go, what did I just see? That's not a good thing. That's not how the body of Christ should be. That's a schism. That's a division. Can you imagine if we were, you know, trying to be a dislocated shoulder or a broken bone in the body? Well, I'm going to do things my way. Okay, realize what you're saying. Christ, head? Nah, you don't know. I know. It's not modeled in our own life that way. When you tell your body to do something, hopefully you want it to do it. So the instruction comes from Christ for this purpose. The body gets fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth. The body's doing what it's supposed to do according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. You know what that means? You matter. You're important. Well, all I do is, I don't know, maybe you could think of, maybe you're just helping. Someone did this in the new members class. They said, well, I'm very old, so there's not much that I can help, but I'll pray. Then pray. That's a good thing. It's not my job to go look at that person or our job and say, well, that's all they do, so no, praise the Lord. Every part is important. That's what's unique. There's not a power structure here. There's authority that is given from the Word, but I'm not trying to get one over you. Warren's not on a career path here. Started out as a bassist. You know, I'm an elder now. Ooh, ooh. You know, that's not how it goes. That's not how it goes. Maketh increase, now look at this, maketh increase of the body. What do you think that, what does that sound like? That sounds like multiplication to me. All that we're doing, the effectual working of every part, the body's supposed to increase in that we're adding more to it. This is people trusting Christ. I'm not saying that's the direct meaning of this, but I think it is a good application of it. And also, you're gonna grow in your knowledge and bearing fruit. Don't you want that? I want that for you. Make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. Now look at these last two words, because this is the Christian life. In love. In love. Your faith in Christ will mature as you obey what the Word says, do what the Word says, you serve, you have servant leadership, you lead with humility, all of that. It will manifest itself by love. And I'm not talking about tolerance. I'm not talking about physical love. I'm not talking about love in word only. You won't have any other desire but to love those, even those who have wronged you. This is ultimately what I wanted to land on this evening. There's a connection that I see in the Scripture between love and forgiveness. It is so hard to forgive if you do not have love. If you are not able to love people the way Christ loved, you're not going to be able to forgive. And there are all types of horrible tragedies that happen to people. I'm talking about things where we would expect our government to take the life of someone who committed them. Capital offenses. Where we are instructed to forgive. That's a hard thing to do if we don't have love. I can't teach that. That's not in a 6-week series. You've got to learn that. That has to come out of you through what the Lord does in you. There was time that I spent with someone that I consider to be a mentor last week, where some of the things he said were most freeing in his life were learning how to forgive. That struck a chord. That was something that I know he's not just saying these things because he's out of things to say. I'm seeing God work through someone who's a mentor and an example to me. We don't know what it's like to forgive if we don't know what it's like to love. You won't know it. Let me tell you how easy it is to say, I forgive you. It's as easy as this, I forgive you. All it took was to me to form those words, make my mouth do what it needed to do, and I can forgive you. But what's going on up here? You holding grudges? I forgive you, but cross me one more time. Folks, I've lived that kind of forgiveness. It's horrible. It eats away at you. You wake up and you're like, why am I so tired? Why am I so exhausted? Why do I just feel like I don't have any joy in my Christian life? Because you're not forgiving. And you say, well, how do I forgive? You focus on Christ. Look at the end of this chapter. Verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, and it doesn't stop there. I think the reason why even as is right after that statement is because it's hard to forgive of our own human flesh. It's not something that we do. It doesn't come natural. Most of the time, forgiveness is given in a strategic position as a way of alliance. I'll forgive you, but you're going to owe me. We don't do that with the Christian life. That's not what God said. He doesn't say, Nehemiah, I'll forgive you of all your sins if you promise to live a sober and righteous life. That's not forgiveness. That's a transaction. That's a deal. And if he doesn't hold up his end of the deal, he doesn't get forgiveness. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's all he did. He offered that forgiveness upon the moment that a person believes. So what's the model? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That phrase, for Christ's sake, means at his expense, the holy, righteous, sinless Son of God stepped in your place. The Father took all his wrath out on him. He became our satisfactory atonement. And you say, how do I forgive? You look at what was done in Christ. That's how we learn how to forgive. And that's a finer thing in our walk that a lot of people will not get. I don't know how many of y'all have seen new golfers. But sometimes, everything looks good right up until about here. And they'll hit the ground, they'll swing and miss and say it's a practice swing, or they'll hit the ball and it goes all these different directions. The reason why they're not good at golf is because they don't have a time to practice. I see a lot of disjointed Christians that look like those people to me. They've got all the motions, they know all the things to do, but when it comes down to actually doing it, they have no idea. I don't want you to be like that. I'm going to be, Lord willing, if we get to November, because the Lord may call us back real soon, I'll be 34 this year. And I've been walking with the Lord since I was 21. That's when I went to summer camp and decided, Lord, here's the blank paper of my life. I'm signing it over to you. You do what you want to do. If there's one thing that I'm still coming to understand and grasp, it's that idea of forgiveness. Because if I'm in my flesh and I'm in what Jesse Martinez wants to do, forgiveness is not natural. You know what's natural for all of us? Revenge. I want to see him squirm. I want him to tell me that I was right and they were wrong. What's the point of all that? Okay, so they tell you, you were right. Guess what? You know what you're going to look like? A child. You're going to stand there like, oh, what do we do now? How about you just love people the way that God has demonstrated love to you? And you forgive. There's people out there that do not want this type of ministry to succeed. Okay? We're going to say, we're going to reach everybody but them? They should be the first people that we reach. And you got to be able to forgive. And that's a finer part that you won't fully understand if you don't obey what the Word says. I mean this as an encouragement. You can close your Bibles. I'm not yelling at you. Please don't get me that way. I know I'm all amped up and all that, but I wanted to take a break from that personal standards because I'm excited about what's going on here. I really am. I tell my family all the time, are you guys like seeing what I'm seeing? And they're like, yeah. And it has nothing to do with me. Can I just be real clear about that? It has nothing to do with me. God's just working through us. The more we yield and say, yes, Lord, the more he'll say, all right, here you go. And you know, a part of the Christian growth is pruning. Do you know what pruning is? Sometimes the Lord's going to have to cut us back a little bit so we grow stronger. Just had an arborist come to the church, right? Can you believe that oak tree right there? It's dying. It's dead. There's a fungus in there. In 6 months, those branches will rot off and fall. Isn't that crazy? And I'm going, how does that happen? He says, well, it just happens. This oak tree over here, when it was pruned too much. It goes into shock. And it just kind of depends on what's going on, the conditions, to see if it ever comes back. It remains to be seen. I'm so glad that God doesn't deal with us in any ways like that. He's not going to poison you. He's not going to give you more than what you can handle. But if you want to do what you want to do, he's going to discipline you out of love. And just be ready for that, if that's a choice you're willing to make. But if you want to understand the finer things in your walk, learn how to love as God has demonstrated love to us. And eventually, I think you'll learn forgiveness, and it's a much easier life. It really is. Not saying your circumstances will get any better, but it's an easier life. I'm going to tell you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. This hand represents you and me. This block of sin represents sin. I put this on top of my hand because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God, he loves us very much. He hates sin because it separates us from him. In order to get to heaven, you have to be perfect without any sin, and we all fall short. To sin means to miss the mark. To be a sinner is one who misses the mark. What's that mark? Perfection. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation in a literal fire-burning hell. There's no amount of good deeds that we could ever do to pay for sin, because the wages of sin, according to what God says, is not a debt structure like we're paying it off with good works. Someone has to die, and they have to have no sin of themselves. So what you're looking at is you need a sinless substitute. I'm not that sinless substitute. You're not that sinless substitute for yourself. We can't die for each other. We need a Savior. And that's exactly what God did. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain. This hand represents Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And God's love is that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is how God showed his love. He sent Jesus. Jesus went to that cross, became that sin for us. It pleased the Father to bruise the Son to pay for our sin. He was buried, and he rose again 3 days later. And you say, well, when was the transaction accepted? When Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. God's wrath is satisfied in the Son. That's salvation. So you say, well, if God has accepted the payment that Jesus made for all the sins of all the world, then why do people go to hell? You need to make a decision. Are you going to trust, believe that Jesus is who he said he is and that what he did on the cross was for you? Or are you going to say, no, I'm going to do it my way? That's your choice. You either say God is telling the truth and you believe on the Son, or you say that God is lying and you reject the Son. You have an entire lifetime to make that one decision. And the moment that you put your trust in Jesus, you're given everlasting life. Sealed until the day of redemption. You're adopted into the family. God gives you a gift and then expects you to labor in the work of the ministry so that more people can come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. What a plan! Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, you know what? That makes sense. I came in here today thinking I had to earn my salvation, do a bunch of things. But you know what? I've changed my mind, and I've put my trust in Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross. I believe that he paid for all my sins, was buried, and rose again. My friend, the Bible says in John 5:24, if you believe, you are passed from death unto life, and you'll never be brought into condemnation again. You have eternal life, no matter what you do or don't do from this day forward. I'd like to pray for you if that was you. Would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I just trusted in Jesus Christ. I know I'm going to heaven. Anyone at all before we close? Raising your hand doesn't save you. It just indicates that today it made sense. If you're watching online, the invitation is open for you as well. And don't get it twisted. It's not open in only the live stream. God is patient, long-suffering, but let's not tempt him. Today's a day of salvation. Believe on him. For my brothers and sisters, we're all in Christ together. He's the head. If you've got something in front of God, let's address that. If you've got a preference or a way of doing things or something that you have put in front of God, it's an idol. Would you bring that to the Lord? And if you're kind of just walking through the Christian life aimlessly, you're not really doing anything, you're not really growing, you're not really regressing, would you turn your eyes to the Savior? See the instructions that are in the Word to grow, to share our faith? And lastly, if you're struggling with forgiveness, can I tell you, I know what that's like. There's a lot of people who do. The cure and the lesson that must be learned to forgive is to see how much we have been forgiven. Father, I pray for each and every person here tonight that your will would be done. Please give them strength. I pray, Lord, that the skies would open up as soon as right now and you would return. But until then, Lord, we will do what you've asked us to do. In Jesus' name, we pray these things.